Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and you're listening to the Lakeside Church Weekly Message Podcast. This is where we broadcast our Sunday morning teaching, so if you missed it or you just want to hear it again, you're in the right place. Don't forget to check us out on the web at lakesidelife.org, where you can learn more about the church, watch some videos, and even give online. Thanks for supporting us, and enjoy the podcast.
I've been overwhelmed with this sense that in our church today, in Lakeside, proudly across the nation, we have people, perhaps you'll be able to relate to this. Your relationship with the church is much stronger than your relationship with God. You know, like we're more connected to each other than we are to God. And listen, I want you to know that comes from some very good places, okay? That doesn't mean that God's not working or anything, but we're kind of in your face all the time. I think we're really trying to be friends, and we have groups that you can be involved in, and we try to get in each other's lives. There's some natural reasons why this occurs. But I do believe that we need to consider this as a church, at least from my perspective as a pastor. I need to consider what kind of church that we're growing, because that's going to greatly influence the message that we share with our community. And so as we start this year, we're actually going to have two themes this year that you're going to hear again and again. One of them is about being a reproducing church as we're starting out. And the other one is going to be about connecting personally with God and making sure that every believer has a strong relationship and strong ties, not just to the body of Christ, but to the source, to God himself. And those are the two themes that you're going to hear from the teaching perspective on Sunday mornings. And so next week, I'm going to talk a lot about that personal thing that God has for each of us. And it's a message I'm going to do from the greatest verse in the whole Bible. And you'll hear about it next week. And this week, as we go into this message, here's what I want you to remember, is that the message to me doesn't change, and neither does the problem. Now, I'm going to talk to you about three different types of churches. Now, I'm going to give each one of these a label. I've come up with these labels myself. I didn't pull them out of a good book anywhere. And so this is, you know, you get what you pay for, okay? But I've come up with these labels, and they're not going to sound that bad. And the reason I didn't want to make them sound bad is because oftentimes when you hear about churches that you're probably going to recognize when I start talking about them, if I start talking, you know I'm eventually going to get to point number three, in the third point message, in a three-point message, right? Which should be the strongest point. And that's going to be in juxtaposition to the other two today, okay? And so today I want to talk to you about three churches. They all begin with the letter R. And the first one is called the Relevant Church. Now, the Relevant Church is really, really, really concerned with the question of the day, whatever that question may be. Okay, and so they would give the answer that Jesus is the answer to any problem. So whatever your problem might be, Jesus is the answer to it. Okay, and so I want to read to you from the book of 1 Corinthians. See, 1 Corinthians is a great place for a church like ours to go. The Corinthian church was, I don't have time to go much into it. We need to teach through that book sometime, but the Corinthian church was a young, emerging church. They were the first Gentile church, so they didn't have the baggage. It truly was like a church plant the way Lakeside is, where we don't have a lot of church experience that we're bringing with us to the table. And so they had a lot of new church problems, okay? And so this is interesting that Paul takes some time to talk about the message that we are sharing. Because there seemed to be, if I am reading context correctly, in the Corinthian church, what happened was eventually they got a really good-looking skinny jeans pastor up front, and they started talking using these very big words and very engaging speakers, and they came off as very knowledgeable, very intellectual, very philosophical, and so the people could really engage. And so these guys, they're really engaged with the culture of the day. They really understood how to speak their language. You know, they were texting all day long. It was awesome. And but Paul kind of sends them a message, and this is what it is, starting in verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Now, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, this is really wording is kind of weird here, but it's fun. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was being preached to save those who believe. So Jews demand signs. Greeks look for wisdom. Postmoderns look for truth. This next generation looks for a cause to fight. Okay? But we preach Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to Jews. It's foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whose God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. It's important to be relevant, I think. As a matter of fact, I can't deny that it's in our mission statement. The mission of Lakeside Church is to establish a healthy and reproducing church that is relevant to the young emerging culture along the Wasatch Front. Okay, that's the mission statement of Lakeside. But here's what we have to understand. In our desire to be relevant, we cannot change the message of what it is we are supposed to be preaching. Jesus isn't just the answer to any problem in the world. So whatever the world's problem is, see, it sounds good, doesn't it? Jesus is the answer. Whatever the world's problem is, whether it's hunger, you know, world, you know, and violence and war, Jesus is the answer. Well, that's true, isn't it? Yes, it's true. But as a church and the light here in Syracuse, we must understand that the message that we preach is about Christ crucified, and that is a specific message that gets watered down if in our desire to be relevant, if in our desire to be cool, people in our church who have come and experienced the fellowship don't understand the problem that Jesus really came to solve in their own life. And we're going to get to that in point number three. Some churches are teaching Jesus, right? And they're teaching as Jesus being the answer to a specific problem, for sure. But they are teaching him as the answer to your problem. So whatever your problem is, wherever you fall short, Jesus is the answer. This is what I call the real or the relational church, okay? You might call it the authentic church. I think that we try to be pretty authentic here, you know, and we at least strive for a community where people are free to voice what struggles are going through without repercussion. And that's incredibly necessary for authenticity. And I think authenticity is an important part of any truly healthy church, okay? But here's the problem with that. When we package Jesus as the answer to any or to your problem is that generations, you know, we change sort of the questions and when we do that, let me tell you how this plays out, okay? You might have, perhaps you're lonely. You know, you don't have friends or you don't have family. Well, Jesus is your friend because he's the answer to your problem. And so when you find Christ, if you will, what you find is someone who is your friend, someone who is with you always, as he says. He is your friend. He is one who will never leave you or forsake you, so you're no longer lonely. Some people, they lack purpose, see? And so when they find Jesus, Jesus now gives them a cause with their life, gives them, you know, a reason, a sense of purpose in their life, a cause to fight for, a mission, if you will, because they've lacked purpose. And so Jesus gives that to them. Some people lack direction. And so they'll say that Jesus is my compass, you know, or they'll say something like Jesus is my guide. You ever hear like, you know, if you're driving in a car with Jesus and how's that work? Anyway, you've got a hold of the steering wheel while you're in the wrong seat. That's a problem, right? Jesus needs to be the guy who's driving you around. Maybe he's your chauffeur in that sense. He is your limo driver. Jesus is the one captaining your ship. He's your guide sort of in life. People lack self-esteem or a sense of self-worth and All of a sudden they find Christ. Jesus gives them an identity. They now know who they are. Jesus can be their mentor. Jesus is their teacher. To some people, Jesus is the guy who gave America its Declaration of Independence. For others, he's their interior decorator. You ever see a home like that? Right? Jesus is your interior decorator. For others, man, you ever notice Jesus gives people the strength to make records and win Grammy Awards. You know? For others, you know, if you watched TV last night, Jesus gives them the strength to defeat the Denver Broncos. I'm so sorry, James, wherever you are. You know, I shed a tear for you. You know, Jesus is their role model. Jesus is their higher power. Jesus is whatever you need him to be. Perhaps we don't think about it that way because, I'll be honest, Jesus is the captain of my ship. Jesus is my friend. He's the one who will never leave me or forsake me. But sometimes those things tend to be more real to me because I deal with them. It would seem I at least turn my eye toward my loneliness, my despair, my self-esteem on a daily basis when I fail to understand that Jesus is one thing, which means everything. He is a Savior. He is my Savior. You know, I was talking to George about this yesterday, and he reminded me of some of those things. He said, you know, that's true. Because if you're lonely, perhaps you can go to church and you can find Jesus and you won't be lonely anymore. Or you can go make friends somewhere else. You know, perhaps, you know, you can go to a church and all of a sudden your low self-esteem problems will go away because Jesus gives you an identity. Or perhaps you can just go see a professional counselor and he'll help you understand. There's a lot of roles that Jesus may fill in your life that could be filled in other ways, I suppose. But there's one way that they can't. This God-shaped hole that we have in each one of our lives that only he can fill. And that is our need for a Savior. Some churches, you see, teach that Jesus is the answer to a specific problem. This is the radical church. Those who are not only passionate about a message, but unashamed of how out of date it sounds. Unashamed of how uncool it might be. Unashamed of how politically incorrect it might be. And what a waste of time it must be to come and hear the preaching of the cross every week when we could be hearing about how to change our financial state or how to, I don't know, love each other more deeply. Important things. But of the two greatest commandments in the world, what did Jesus say was the greatest? To love God. We must understand that at a very deep level. You see, Jesus is the answer to a problem. And here is the problem. All have sinned. That's what Jesus is the answer to. One specific problem. All have sinned. We read this in Romans 3:23. We read it elsewhere in the Bible. And of course, the prophet Isaiah said that all we like sheep have gone astray. And each one has turned to our own ways. And Jesus is the answer. He is the solution. And this is what the solution is. I would like to, it'll be five words. The problem is all have sinned. The solution is but God. That's where the solution lies. I was looking through these verses that have meant so much to me throughout my life and found a couple more that I read for the first time, maybe with fresh eyes preparing for this message. I looked in Acts. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging on a cross. Say it. But God raised him from the dead. When they carried out all that was written about him, this is same chapter earlier, they took him down from the cross and laid him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead. Even the psalmist David wrote, he said, their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Isaiah wrote about this. He said, we considered him punished by God, stricken and afflicted, but God, okay, but he, however you read that, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the Apostle Paul waxed eloquent on this in Ephesians when he started out. In Ephesians, one of my favorite books, and he says this, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And it goes on, you've been raised up and seated at the right hand of the Father. We often quote this verse. Very rarely that will anyone die for a righteous person, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. So the message doesn't change, and neither does the problem. In church, if I can say anything to you by way of my commitment to you, is I will try my hardest not to lose sight of the message that we're supposed to be preaching here. I will try not to waste our time and get off track. You'll hear messages where we do messages and we learn about other things on Sunday morning as well. But the main thrust of our message to this community is going to be that all have sinned. But God, while you were still a sinner, while you didn't deserve anything, but God stepped in, and only he. We could change all those things and say instead of not but God, only God. Only God could solve the problem of sin. The problem is sin. The solution is a Savior, because this is one problem where you are totally dependent on him. You cannot solve this problem on your own. No amount of bath bubbles is going to get rid of this thing like it would stress. No amount of friends is going to get rid of the problem of sin. No amount of direction, no amount of purpose in your life will get rid of the one problem that you cannot fix on your own. And neither can your church. Neither can being baptized. Neither can singing songs on Sunday morning. Neither can doing good works. Neither can fulfilling all that the church might require of you. If you go to a church that has requirements, right? We just want you to show up, right? None of those things can solve this problem. You're a sinner. And you've been saved. If you believe on his name, you've been saved because only him and his love for you. You didn't deserve it. None of us deserved it. So we said a prayer one day. You know, we accepted it. What is that, right? I mean, it's him who offered it. It's all on him. He is the one who on his own reached down from heaven, and God gave his only son. And I'm telling you, you know, I got to stop, because next week I'm about to get into next week's message. And next week's message, I really want you to hear. It's a message again about the greatest verse in all the Bible. I hope that you'll have figured out what it is by now. But if not, I might give you a hint on Facebook. But it's a message for all of us. It's not just a message for unbelievers. It's a message for my church I really want to preach. Our mission is to know God, guys, and to introduce others to him. And that's it. There are a lot of problems. Our mission is not, and hope this didn't fly in the face of anything that maybe you're hoping for and dreaming about in the church. I want to assure you that we will still be involved in our community. We will still be involved in doing the things that show love to our community so that we can have the opportunity to share the message. But guys, that's why we're doing it. Not just because it's a good thing. It's so we can share the message. Our mission is not to feed the hungry. It's not to give money to the poor. Our mission is not to establish world peace. Our mission is not social justice. Our mission is to preach the message of Christ crucified.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to the weekly message here at Lakeside. If you have a need or anything else you want to talk about, please visit our website at lakesidelife.org and click on the contact page to get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.